Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
To the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I know we've been gone for a little bit. We had some scheduling conflicts, and unfortunately I was quite a bit under the weather. But anyways, I'm the Big Jack, and we're back. And like I said, hey, it's Friday, so let's kick it off.
Start spreading the news.
And, of course, being Friday, that music means Schomburg Stu is here. How you doing, Stu?
I'm ready for another exciting hour of what's going on in the world of sports.
All right. Well, if you'd like to participate, you can call in. 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Now, anything else you need? Head over to sportstimeradio.com. The blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something new popping up there sometime tomorrow. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you can hit that link. It'll take you to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, that would be greatly appreciated. But, you know, I understand. If not, we always have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, we still don't have Stu on Twitter, but feel free to reach out to me at Burke Time, and I will forward any message you have along to Stu. So there you go. All right. So I don't even know what is going on. What do we need to talk about first?
Well, shall we address the Blackhawks situation, or is there something else that's even more important to talk about than that?
I did see, you know, if you've been following this story, this is the, I don't know how you want to call it, the follow through of what happened to Kyle Beach with, was it an assistant trainer? I think, was it Greg Aldrich?
Maybe it's a video coach.
And so far we've had Stan Bowman resign as Blackhawk president. I saw that Joel Quinville has resigned as Florida Panther coach. Of course, he was the Blackhawks coach when this all happened. Rocky Wirtz wrote a letter to the NHL and would like them to consider X-ing out Aldrich's name off the Stanley Cup. But I did see that. Is it the Winnipeg Jets general manager that they decided was, I think it was the Winnipeg Jets, or maybe it was the Oilers, one of the Canadian teams up there. They decided their general manager was the Blackhawks assistant GM at the time, but they decided he had no wrongdoing, so it looks like he'll be able to keep his job.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that I need some answers on. Maybe you can come up with some. Number one, of course, is why did it take over a decade before the news finally came out?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure why this kind of went on for so long. You know, I keep hearing everybody say it's because the Blackhawks swept it under the rug. You know, maybe it just took the fact that, you know, this is the first time Kyle Beach's name has actually been associated with this. And maybe it just took him to finally getting to the point of being mentally ready to attach his name to it that got this all out there. Because I know it came up a few years ago, I believe, but then just kind of went away.
Yeah, very strange. And one question keeps revolving around in my mind. Maybe you have an opinion on this. At the time it happened, Beach had to be in the prime of his life physically. I mean, he was good enough to be considered a member of the Chicago Blackhawks hockey team. couldn't he have defended himself at least and prevent this from happening physically? Or was he so afraid that his name would be persona non grata and he wouldn't be able to ever have a career in the NHL or AHL because of threats from the video coach? So I was always, I'm wondering about that aspect of the case.
You know, that was the first thing that kind of popped into my mind when all this came up is, I mean, we're talking about a professional hockey player here. I mean, this is somebody who, you know, I mean, these guys fight on the ice on skates. So, yeah, I was really baffled myself on kind of why he allowed this to happen. And, I mean, he's a relatively physically imposing person. I mean, he's 6'3" and over 200 pounds. So I'm not quite sure, you know, if or how, or maybe it was just the fact that, you know, there were promises made that this would get him into the NHL because he never actually made it onto the Blackhawks.
Yeah, that's right. And threats, coercion, call it what you will. Now, I have to bring this question up. Maybe this is not a politically correct question, but I have to ask it anyway. Is Beach straight?
You know, that I don't know if that's ever been presented, and I haven't seen anything on it.
Yeah,
so yeah,
that's one of the questions that came to my mind, because if he's not, perhaps he might think to himself, "Hey, maybe this will be a way for me to get into the league, to make it into the NHL. This guy puts in a good word for me if I do what he tells me to do."
You know, it does appear as though he is single. I don't see anything about him being married, but there's nothing to the fact of if he's straight or gay or whatever it is. Technically, when you look at it, he's a bit of a failed prospect. You know, he was actually the 11th pick in the draft back in 2008.
Yeah, he was drafted quite high and never made it, really.
So.
But a video coach can't promise all that much to, I don't think he has that much clout to promise him the possibility of going to maybe to Rockford or to the AHL, or if he does these things as requested of him. So, does that guy have that much pull? You know, you wouldn't think he has that much pull in the organization to do these things.
So, yeah, no, and again, like I said, that's been the one thing that's kind of baffling to me, was just kind of why he let it happen. And I that's one of those things I don't think we'll ever get the answer to. So
yeah, I didn't realize until you mentioned it how imposing this guy is physically. 6'3", over 200 pounds, and a video coach. I don't think a video coach is hired because he's a great athlete.
Yeah, no, and especially, I mean, wasn't he the assistant video coach? So
yeah,
he wasn't
yeah.
even the main guy. So you wonder, you know, what he is or was, or, you know, how it kind of happened.
It hasn't really been discussed all that much, but one of the things that really bothers me about the Blackhawks not doing something about this right from the get-go was that this guy got into trouble later on for a similar situation with students when he was in the Michigan school system, and now he's a registered sex offender there. If the Blackhawks caught this right away, maybe that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, well, you know, sadly, these things kind of seem to go that way when they come out. I mean, you look at that, Larry Nassar? I mean, how many of those poor female gymnasts did he assault before it finally came out? So, you know, it's just, you know, unfortunately, it seems to be one of the byproducts of it. And I think, you know, part of the problem is, it's difficult for someone to admit that this happened to them. You know, you wonder if maybe
Pete
was a little embarrassed, being that he is, you know, 6'3 and 200-plus pounds, that this happened.
And that's a good point. Remember that he was known as John Dofer for over 10 years before his name finally became officially known.
So, yeah, I believe his name just came out this week.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. And
you know, and you do wonder, you know, do you think this is having any effect on the team? I mean, we're talking about a team that's off to an 0-5 start and has only managed 2 points.
Yeah, I was just going to mention the same thing. This is not doing the team any favors because they were off to a bad start to begin with, and maybe this is just compounding the issue. Unless they knew about it before the season started, this is going to come out pretty soon, and what are we going to do about it? I'm wondering if they knew this was going to happen, but right from the get-go when the actual season started.
Well, I guess the thing that really broke it open was apparently, and I don't know how this was ever discovered, but apparently they found out about a meeting between, like, the Blackhawks higher up. You know, Stan Bowman, apparently Joel Quenneville was there with, you know, the other front office people. I don't know who exactly was there, but except for Bowman and Quenneville. And, you know, this leaked, and that's kind of what ended up bringing down Stan Bowman and, in the end, Quenneville. And I know they did say the NHL gave Quenneville a path to return. I don't know what he has to do. My guess is it's some kind of counseling or classes or something like that. But I'd be interested to know how long that would take and how interested a team would be in him.
Yeah, and this goes to show you how important winning is in any sport. When you put somebody like this behind you for the sake of winning the Stanley Cup, which is great for the city, of course, and winning is everything, but this is pretty bad cost for what happened.
So, yeah, it did cost the team $2 million. So I guess 3 Stanley Cups cost them $2 million, right?
Right, and I think half of the money is going to be donated to some local organization that handles things like this.
Yeah, definitely. I read that. I don't know what charity it's going to, but yeah, half of it to one of those type of organizations. So hopefully they can do some good work with it. So that's because that's a big donation for a charity.
Yeah, that is. Well, I caught some of the interviews after the hockey game with Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews, and it was kind of an awkward, uncomfortable interview for those guys, and you can't blame them. Because I think they knew a little bit, had their suspicions that this had taken place a long time ago.
Yeah, I know Jonathan Toews, I saw both of the interviews, and Toews actually mentioned that, you know, he was disappointed that he didn't know more, you know, because he only heard a little bit, and you wonder, you know, if what he heard was even factual, you know, because God only knows what could have gotten out.
Yeah, it's a very sad situation, and certainly a blight on the Chicago Blackhawks, and as you pointed out, they're off to a bad start as it is, and this could really kill their season.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, on the other side, though, I think the NHL did a, with the exception of this taking so long to do, they did a really nice job of handling the situation, you know, compared to how some other sports have handled these things.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate that it took so long before the facts became known officially.
So, yeah, you know, that, I mean, that's the big negative to it, was this all took so long. But, you know, fortunately for them, you know, there haven't been any other cases. So,
let's face it, some people in the know, some people in management, some of the higher-ups when this happened had their suspicions, knew something about it, but looked the other way because they were concerned about winning the Stanley Cup. Couldn't they have done both?
Well, you know, that always kind of seems to be the case when it comes to these things. You know, it's winning first and everything else second.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see. But, you know, hopefully, the Blackhawks can put it behind them and just, you know, move forward. And, you know, being that it was so long ago, I don't think it'll have any adverse effect on the team. You know, they're just a bad team right now. Because, I mean, there aren't too many people left from that team. I mean, it's Kane, Taze, and who else is even still around?
Yeah. I think most of the players have either moved to other teams or have retired.
Yeah. So, you know, and obviously, you know, Quinville was still hanging around, but now he's out and Bowman's gone, and I think all the other people are out of the organization. So, you know, there's not too much more they can do.
The only thing good that's coming out of this is maybe now all professional sports can be more of a watchdog to prevent this from ever happening again, no matter if it's hockey, football, basketball, baseball, call it what you will. But let's stay on top of it and prevent this from ever happening again.
Yeah, and hopefully, and, you know, again, I think the biggest problem is getting the victim to speak out, you know, kind of immediately. Which, you know, could just imagine has got to be just so mentally devastating, you know, just the disbelief that they don't want to say anything. So, that could possibly help a situation, but it's got to be tough.
No, it looks now that Mr. Beach will be getting some kind of financial remuneration from the Blackhawks. As to what the amount is, I have no idea.
Surprise me. So, you know, and he is still playing hockey. He actually plays on a team in Germany.
I wasn't aware of that. And, of course, means at this stage he's been around for a long time. He's never going to make it to the NHL, I would think.
No. Yeah, no, he had a long, a long minor league career. It just never, for whatever reason, worked out for him. And, you know, who knows?
Yeah, it's so difficult, I mean, to make it to the NHL. For any of the major sports to make it to the top levels, it's not easy. And it's too bad that this happened. And We hope it doesn't happen again. Hopefully,
with these edicts coming down, you know, this gives him some relief. I mean, you could tell in the interview he gave that it was still, you'd almost call it emotionally scarring for him. So maybe with, you know, Bowman gone and Quinville gone and the Blackhawks being fine, maybe he can finally move on and, you know, continue with his life.
Yeah, it's difficult to come back from that, and maybe the old cliche about time heals all. Maybe down the road he can accept what happened and move forward.
So, but while we're on Chicago sports, I did not see this or know this until just before we started. It looks like the Bulls are going to be minus, what was it, last year's number one draft pick, Patrick Williams. He's going to miss 4 to 6 months due to wrist surgery. They said he took a tumble last night against the Knicks. Did you see the play or know anything about this?
I knew he was hurt, and I missed that play. But when I see something like this, read about something like this, as you pointed out, it's amazing that in a sport that is not a contact sport like hockey or football or even baseball, there are so many horrible injuries in the NBA.
Yeah, they always seem to, I don't know how it manages to happen that way, but these guys come up with some oddly negative, you know, really just injuries you wouldn't expect, more or less.
Yeah, it's too bad because the team certainly looks like that this is their best incarnation in many years. And now, of course, Zach LaVine is playing with an injury. I think he's got a fractured thumb on his left hand, and which is awkward to play with, but he got it out and played last night, and I'm sure he'll probably be in the lineup anyway from now on. But have they made any moves because of Williams going on the injury list? Have they called up anybody? I know, isn't White also out of action with an injury, Kobe White?
Yeah, he's expected back. He's got a shoulder injury. He's expected back about the middle of next month. I didn't see any moves. I was wondering who would take over in the starting role, and it would probably end up being, is it Javonte Green or Derek Jones would probably be the guys who fill that void while Williams is out, and who knows, you know, 4 to 6 months, he may end up just being done for the year.
Right. I haven't seen too much of Green, but I think he's a promising player, so he might sit in well, at least, and well, not like Williams, but I think they should do okay with him in the lineup.
Yeah, I don't think either guy has really gotten a ton of minutes. You know, Green has at least played in all five games. Jones has only appeared in one game and only played 2 minutes. But obviously that'll go up now because he'll, you know, I think Green would probably end up starting and Jones would end up being the backup.
Yeah, most likely.
So, you know, they would be the guys logging the minutes unless they, you know, throw one of the other big guys out there. Well, you know, we'll have to kind of see how they handle it. But yeah, I don't know. It's a, you know, it's a tough break of, you know, Williams was doing what he was supposed to do. I mean, he's not going to score with the players they have, so he's got to rebound and play defense.
Yeah, and that's one of the Bulls' big weaknesses anyway, is the rebounding, because they were as murdered on the boards last night and ultimately wound up crossing in the game. And oh, by the way, I know that you didn't see the game last night because of your work schedule, but it was really kind of a prototypical NBA game in which the road team is on their way to an easy win, having dominated most of the game, and then proceed to almost throw it away in the last 2 minutes. And how many times over the years have we seen the Bulls do this when they're on the road, losing
yeah,
the game when they were well ahead in the last 2 minutes? Well, it almost happened to the Knicks yesterday. And the thing I question is, during the Bulls' run and while the Knicks were just self-destructing, Thibodeau didn't call any timeouts. He just let them play. And it almost wound up crossing the game. But
yeah, that is kind of odd that they didn't, you didn't get at least one timeout.
Yeah. Well, they finally called a timeout when one of the Knicks in the lead and shrunk to one, and they missed two free throws, one of their best players. I can't remember his name offhand, but there's 4.8 seconds to go, and finally the Bulls have a chance to win the game. And their pattern of offense didn't seem to be all that great, and DeRozan had looked like he had a clear look at the basket, but he wound up throwing an air ball. You'd at least like to see the ball hit the rim, because you never know. Sometimes you get a friendly bounce, but nothing but non-net, let's put it that way.
So, yeah, well, you know, it's just their first loss, so we'll see if they – I think they play – they got a tough game tomorrow. They play Utah, so we'll see if they can bounce back against a tough Utah team.
Yeah. And both New York and the Bulls have identical records now.
So, yeah, you know, still off to a good start. I know the schedule was, you know, a little light to start off the year. But, you know, they played the Knicks tough, and, they're a playoff team. So that's, definitely
they're a scrappy team, but their main weakness, I feel, is their lack of height. So they're going to get widely trounce most games on the boards, which is not a good thing, especially a lot of putbacks that the Knicks got last night. I know you didn't see the game, but several easy putback shots for baskets.
And Utah's the only undefeated team left now at 4-0.
Well, the game will be in Chicago, I'm assuming.
I believe it is. I didn't look. I'll have to double check that. So, and then oddly enough, Detroit is the only team without a win, and two of their losses are to the Bulls. So,
yeah, they only lost by four in the first game against the Bulls, and the Detroit basketball team sounds similar to the Detroit football team.
Yeah, boy, they're both still looking for a win.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, we know the Red Wings have at least one win because they beat the Blackhawks.
Yeah, no, the Red Wings actually got off to a pretty good start, if I remember correctly. They were a bit of a surprise there. Yeah, they're 7-4-2 to start the season.
That's a lot of games they've played so far.
Yeah, well, 11, yeah, you know, or 13. No, I think, yeah,
the,
no, 11.
Are the Blackhawks the only team now in the NHL who hasn't got a win? They got 2 points, I know that, but no wins.
Oh, let me see here. I can check that out. So, and actually, Detroit has only played 7 games. They're 4-2-1. I misread that. Let's see, winless teams. No, the Arizona Coyotes are 0-6. They're actually worse than the Blackhawks. They only have 1 point.
Are the Blackhawks playing tonight?
Yes, they are. They're playing tonight and tomorrow. So it's they face the 6-0 Carolina Panthers tonight. And then they play the 5-1 St. Louis Blues tomorrow. So a couple of really tough games.
Yeah, that combined with what has been going on in the news does not bode well for their weekend games.
No. So, but don't give anything away because you're probably going to have to pick those later. So don't give anything away.
I will not. But you also have a World Series game tonight too.
Yeah, well, possibly. There is quite a bit of rain forecast for the Atlanta area, and they do not have a dome like Houston. So it's going to be really kind of interesting to see if this game gets played. But, yeah, it's supposed to be good old game three. We'll see. I do find it interesting that both designated hitters are in the lineup tonight in as outfielders, because obviously being in Atlanta, there's no DH. Jordan Alvarez is going to play left field for the Astros, and Jorge Soler is going to play right field for the Braves.
I think Soler can handle himself okay in the outfield. I don't think they should. Yep.
Yeah.
Much. But he's a guy that's been injured a few times on some outfield plays over the years, and of course he has been kind of brittle. But lately, the last few years, he's been a little better in terms of playing most of the games. It wasn't, didn't 1 year when with Kansas City played the full season, every game?
Yeah. Yeah, the year he hit the 48 home runs.
So we got two ex-Cubs in the lineup tonight for Atlanta. Is Peterson also in the lineup?
No, Peterson is not in the lineup tonight. It's Rosario in the left. Adam Duvall is actually playing center, and Soler plays right. So just the one Cub, a former Cub.
And, of course, we all know that Atlanta had a bad break the other day when Morton broke his ankle or leg. Something happened then.
Left.
It was a combination. He got hit with a pitch, batted ball, and then he aggravated it again the following inning.
Yeah, well, he went back out. You know, I mean, that's just crazy to think about that. So.
Yeah, yeah, that shows a lot of guts, and he's not a youngster, so I hope he didn't ruin the rest of his career because he's going to be, 38 pretty soon, I think, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, you know, he's already signed a contract with Atlanta for next year, 2 years, so he's, you know, I'm sure he'll have plenty of time to recover. But I was curious, do you find it interesting that Houston is is actually a 1.5 run underdog in this game? You know, have you seen enough in two games to really make them that big of an underdog?
I can't see how they can make them. I would call it a pick'em game myself. I would say it would be pretty even. I can't see them being 1.5 run underdog. It doesn't make sense to me. I think Houston is a pretty solid baseball club. In fact, I predicted them to win in six myself, and I haven't changed my opinion just yet, so I find that very odd. But the odds makers usually know what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and like when, you know, this all started, you know, when the playoffs started, I said Houston was playing the best out of any of the American League teams, and, you know, here they are. So, but,
yeah,
you know, we are even.
I saw one of the experts predicting Atlanta to win in seven, and it could come down to that.
Yeah, it seems like a pretty even series. You know, I mean, Atlanta won the first game, I guess you could say relatively easily, and then Houston turned around and won game two relatively easily.
Yeah, neither game was close.
Yeah, we'll have to we'll have to see. You know, on the plus side for Fox, I did see that the viewing is up 13% from last year. So they've got to be excited about that.
Yeah, I'm sure the two teams that are playing weren't their favorites. They probably would have rather have the Yankees playing the Dodgers, I'm sure.
Yeah, or the Red Sox.
Yeah, either way.
So,
speaking of the Red Sox, I see where Kyle is Schwarber is very eager and maybe returning to the Red Sox for next season.
Yeah, there are a lot of rumors that they want him back. So it'll be interesting to see how that kind of works out and what they decide to do. I mean, I don't know who their free agents are or things like that, but
Boston did a really huge risk, I thought, with installing him as the first baseman for most of the games, because obviously he's not. And it did come back to hurt them a couple of times.
So. You know, it definitely wasn't perfect, but they got it done.
Well, I also read a report that Rizzo wants to play with the Yankees again next season.
Yeah, I did see him say that. Who knows? So.
Yeah, very interesting. I saw some other speculation that Javi Baez might come back to the Cubs next season. And to tell you the truth, it doesn't interest me all that. It doesn't excite me all that much.
Yeah, I don't see that. I don't see that one happening. So, you know, there's just no real reason for that to be. So.
Yeah, they also they're also looking into the possibility of getting Story over to the Cubs.
Yeah, you know, that rumor popped up when he said some nice things about Wrigley Field. But you got to wonder why a player like that would leave one losing team to join another losing team.
Yeah, because I don't see the team being turned around to a contender for next year.
Yeah, so, you know, we'll see. But I did see, you know, baseball handed out their Players' Choice Awards yesterday. And it worked out. I don't know how much of a preview this is to who wins what, but Jonathan India and Ryan Mountcastle were the outstanding rookies in each league. Max Scherzer and Robbie Ray were the outstanding pitchers in each league. Bryce Harper and Shohei Ohtani were the outstanding players. And then Ohtani was the player of the year. So there you go. Nothing really surprising.
No, especially for the National League Rookie of the Year. I don't see how anybody can not pick India to be the,
yeah,
the National League Rookie of the Year. He was consistent from the get-go.
You know, and who knows if this will work out. They do give out a couple other awards. Mark Belanger won the Curt Flood Award, and Marcus Semien won the Marvin Miller Man of the Year Award. That's for, I believe that's for work they do off the field. But, yeah, you know, sadly, you know, these voters are so short-sighted that, you know, Ohtani is going to win these awards, even though Vlad Guerrero Jr. was the better player and deserves the awards. So.
Well, he certainly should be voted ahead of Ohtani, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I actually saw somebody point out the fact they were like, yeah, and Ohtani's ERA was 3.10. Yeah, so what? That's not, you know, he didn't even pitch enough innings to qualify for the ERA race.
Yeah, my first thought was when he said the ERA is 3.10, it's pretty damn respectable. However, how many innings did he actually wind up pitching during the course of the season?
Yeah. So, you know, it's just, it's, you know, and I get it. You know, you don't want to mess up a good story with the facts, and you know, it is amazing that he's hitting and pitching, but he's also on a team that is non-competitive. Yeah, he ended up throwing 130 in a third innings over 23 games, and the guy was actually wrong. His ERA is 3.18, not 3.10. So,
well, it's still a respectable ERA.
Yeah.
No,
oh yeah,
that's
nothing wrong with that at all, you know. But again, it's the process of he didn't pitch enough innings to qualify for anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Otherwise,
right.
They'd get young too. So, you know, but you look at his hitting numbers. His average ended up down at 257. He did hit 46 home runs, drove in 100 RBIs, but struck out a whopping 189 times.
Yeah, you gotta do better than that, and I guess these guys are never going to learn, and these sluggers, and, you know, 257 is, by today's standards, is a respectable batting average, but that strikeout rate is just way too much, which shows you that he's not a true team player. He's not going to try to hit to right field, hit behind a runner in a situation that calls for it. He's going to go for the long ball anyway and strike out.
You know, but they will tell you he stole 26 bases because that's exciting to them. So.
Well, he's certainly a talented baseball player. You can't take that away from him.
Oh, no, there's no doubt he's, you know, one of the best players in the game. And, you know, he has all the ability, but, you know, we're talking about an award that, would, you know, coming up here, that'll be most valuable. Is he really the most valuable player in the league?
I would say,
you know,
that.
What did he do for that team that really did anything for him? They finished 8 games under 500 or something like that.
Yeah, and that that amount of strikeouts is just not acceptable. I don't care how many runs he drives in, how many homers. That is just way too many strikeouts.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's just, that's nuts to, you know, to strike out almost 200 times is ridiculous.
If someone struck out that many times 10, 20 years ago, they wouldn't be in the major leagues.
Or they would have to have a, you know, a big time average to go with it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I guess 257 isn't bad by today's standards, though.
No, you know, I'm sure it depends kind of how you look at it, but yeah, he struck out fourth most in baseball.
How many times did Guerrero strike out? I don't think it was all that many.
I gotta find his numbers here, and I can tell you, he struck out 110. But he did hit 311.
Yeah, well, by today's standards, that's not bad, considering what his batting average was. I would still vote him for the most valuable player in the American League myself, hands down.
Well, that Guerrero ended up with more home runs and more RBIs than Ohtani did.
Yeah, how did you not vote this guy in?
And they'll hear guys tell you, but he's so.
It's a shame that he's not going to win.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually just a horrible situation there that people aren't going to be smart enough to give him that award when, you know, he was the reason the Blue Jays contended and almost got in the playoffs all year while the Angels never contended.
The thing is, this has almost been a foregone conclusion for months now that Ohtani is going to win it. And would you be shocked if there was a change to that? I wouldn't be. I would be astonished if Guerrero actually won the award, which he deserves.
Yeah, I would have I would be surprised if somehow Ohtani doesn't win that award.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like it's a lock. It's a given, but Guerrero is a supremely talented player.
You know, I am, you know, really kind of interested to see how the National League goes. You know, who they end up giving that award to, because there are some interesting guys. I mean, you know, I know Bryce Harper put up some really nice numbers, but, you know, so did Austin Riley, and the Braves ended up winning that division. You know, Trey Turner had a really good combined year, you know, with the Dodgers and the Nationals, and, you know, Castellanos did well in Cincinnati. I mean, there are some guys that, you know, could get votes. You know, I honestly think Juan Soto was probably the best player, but the fact that the Nationals finished last will doom him. And then, you know, Tatis had the 42 home runs. So you got to kind of wonder where these guys are going to shake out.
It's going to be very interesting when the final selection is made, because you mentioned all these players, and it's hard to discount any of them. They all have a shot at it, but it's going to be much more of a surprise, I think, when it's all said and done, than what the selection is going to be in the American League.
With the American League, I mean, I think we all know it's Ohtani and then whoever else they happen to throw on a ballot. But, yeah, the National League is quite an interesting race.
Yeah, and don't forget that another contender was hurt early on, Acuna. And he's out for the year, and he would have been right up there among the other ones as well, I would think.
And sadly, I don't remember my preseason prediction. I remember my American League one was Aaron Judge, and I know he'll get some votes. He won't win it. He'll probably finish in the top five, though. But I don't remember who I picked in the National League, so I don't know if I've got a horse in the race.
Yeah, I'll have to look at my selections. I know that my selections for the World Series are kaput, though.
Yeah, well, you know, at least I got in the playoffs. I had the Yankees and the Dodgers, so at least both teams got in for a change.
Yeah, that's what I asked for the World Series, but they both got into the playoffs at least.
So yeah, that was a big plus for me here. So you know, for normally, you know, I get a team that doesn't even make the playoffs when I make predictions. So
no. At least that's a plus, as you pointed out.
You know, and you know, we'll see it. You know, it should hopefully, you know, it's a good game tonight, and I'll actually get to watch a little bit of it because I do have to work tomorrow. I have a later start time, so I can watch some innings. You know, as long as the game gets, as long as it gets up and running and there's no weather delay or anything. So,
well, if there's a weather delay, you can always watch the Blackhawks.
Yeah, you know, there's always something else on. So I'll be able to find something.
Yeah, I would like to see the baseball game tonight. It can be very tedious watching hockey sometimes. I don't know. It's a low-scoring game most of the time and a lot of back and forth. It doesn't seem to have the interest for me as say, for example, the NFL or even Major League Baseball, which is a slow sport in itself, but I still like to watch it more than I do hockey.
Yeah, I get hot and cold with it. You know, like with the Blackhawks playing as bad as they are, it makes it hard to watch. But, you know, at least when they were up on the Maple Leafs, I was a little more into the game because they were at least playing decently. And then, of course, they blew that, but I was in bed by then, so it was okay.
Yeah, see, when you went to bed, they were still winning 2-0, or was it 2-1 at that point?
Yeah. But, all right, well, let's jump on some picks a few minutes early here for you. And since we covered the Blackhawks in hockey, we'll talk about it. Now, they've got back-to-back games. It's Carolina tonight and then St. Louis tomorrow. What I want you to tell me is how many points the Blackhawks will accumulate out of these two games.
Well, I will have to say I'm going to give them a break here. I'm going to say 1 point.
Ooh,
my initial reaction was zero.
That means one game will go to overtime is what you have, one of these two games.
Yeah. I figure maybe by osmosis they'll finally get a game to go into overtime. So I'll give them 1 point for the weekend.
All right, and then we jump to tomorrow. As we know, it's the undefeated Utah Jazz here to take on the 4-1 Bulls. Who wins the game? The Bulls get the bounce back win, or you got Utah?
I have Utah beating the Bulls tomorrow night.
All right, and we will move to our Sunday spread here. We got the 49ers in town to take on the Bears. Who wins the game first?
I'm going to take a deep breath here and predict the Bears to squeak out a victory against the 49ers on Sunday afternoon.
Oh, I didn't see that one. I really thought you were going the other way there. And then let's go with the over-under on this game is 39.5. You got both teams combining for over or under that total?
Well, I will have to definitely say under that total.
All right. We'll get you all locked in here. Now, you did actually, a couple weeks ago when we did this, you actually went 4-0. So you're 78-63 coming into this weekend's picks. So,
well, I think I should wind it up. For the entire year, I should be over 500, no matter what happens the rest of the way.
Should be able. You'd have to go on a really bad streak here these last couple months to, you know. So you have to watch your bets, and we'll see. But hopefully, you can manage to stay above 500. So. But yeah, I did want to get you real quick here. You know, we've heard the last couple days that, you know, Ring of Honor is releasing all their wrestlers from their contracts at the end of the year. And apparently they've been trying to sell the tape library for quite a while. Like I read today that it's going, they want it to go to the highest bidder, as it was put. Now they've tried to play this off as a restructuring. Do you honestly see them coming back, or do you think they're out of business and it's no more Ring of Honor?
I think they're gone. I don't see them coming back. And go ahead.
How surprised are you by this? Because, you know, for a while they were looked at as the number two company in America and maybe like the number three overall behind New Japan.
Yeah, this came out, this is kind of a shocking news release when it happened. I was very surprised to see that because they've been around a long time. Would you say at least, was it 20 years? Have they been around 20 years? Close
to it?
It
may have been even longer than that. I'm not, I'll have to see if I can find an actual start date for the promotion, but yeah, I know they've been around a while. 2002, so yeah, you're really close. 19 years, you were right on it.
Yeah, I don't see them getting more than maybe $500,000 for their tape library, based upon what Vince McMahon normally pays for these things, and usually he turns out to be the one that secures the deal. So is that? I don't think that's going to help them all that much financially. If it turns out to be $500,000 or so.
Yeah, you know, it definitely. That might not be bad where they end up. So.
Yeah, it's too bad. I guess Sinclair looks like they're pulling the plug, and I think one of the things that hurt the promotion was the fact they never seemed to be able to get a TV outlet for some of the major markets like Chicago and New York.
Yeah, for whatever reason, and what I was kind of surprised by is why Sinclair themselves never aired the product.
What surprised me is that I believe Sinclair owns the Marquee Network.
Yeah. Yeah,
and so why didn't they show it? They could show some of their wrestling product on the Cub Channel. I mean, the Cubs have a lot of infomercials on there. If you take a look, the filler type things. Why couldn't they throw in an hour worth of Ring of Honor and maybe get some viewers that way?
Yeah, I was kind of wondering the same thing. How come we just never saw them? But, who knows? And I am kind of curious about where some of the wrestlers will end up.
Well, I'm sure some of them will be picked up by AEW. I don't see too many of them being picked up by WWE.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how many of them will end up in AEW. I'm sure Impact will end up with a few of them. And I know they have been using quite a few of the Mexican wrestlers, so I'm sure they'll end up going back to AAA or CMLL or whatever Fed they've been working down there. But yeah, I'm kind of interested to see where some of these names end up shaking out or how it works out.
There's one tag team they have there, the Briscoes. They're well-known, one of the great tag teams. And I saw those guys wrestle, and I thought they were absolutely horrible. And I don't see them being picked up by either AEW or the WWE, maybe, as you pointed out, Impact, because I think this is a highly overrated team.
Yeah, no, well, you know, they've had multiple WWE tryouts and were never signed. So that, you know, obviously they won't be going there. I can't see, you know, maybe they work an AEW dark or dark elevation and do a job so they can get a look at them. But I can't, I've never been overly impressed with them.
No. Would they give the, if they move to Impact, would they give the Good Brothers some kind of competition?
Boy, I don't know. Possibly, they are that, they are global championship wrestling tag team champions right now. So they'll get those bookings, but I don't know where else we'll actually see them after that.
I don't even know who the Ring of Honor world champion is, so you might have to fill me in on that one.
It's Bandido.
Well, he's a luchador, I assume.
Yeah. So,
is he under 200 pounds? I don't know much about him. I know nothing about him, actually.
No, I don't know a ton about him either. Let me see what they list him as. 5'7" and 183 pounds.
Well, this guy would never make it in the WWE.
Well, I don't know. They have a lot of smaller guys now, but they generally don't do much with the luchadors.
No.
So, with the exception of Rey Mysterio, they haven't done much with any of the other guys.
Is Jay Lethal still on their roster, Ring of Honor's roster?
Yeah, he's one of their trainers.
Does he still compete?
Yeah, he still wrestles.
Well, he's the kind of guy that would be perfect for Impact, I think.
Yeah, and, my guess is, Jonathan Gresham will probably end up in Impact because he's married to Jordan Grace, and she's kind of established there. So I assume we would see him there. But these other guys, I don't know enough about them. There are a couple names I recognize, but, I know Kenny King has spent a little time in Impact, but I don't see him being much to kind of get established, to be anything.
When did they have their strongest talent base? For example, when they had Samoa Joe and CM Punk and all those one-on-one matches they had. But that was a long time ago.
Yeah, that was 10, 15 years ago, I think, when they were really, because they were it for a while. That was where every indie guy wanted to work, was Ring of Honor. So
their current roster, is it mostly cruiserweights now?
Yeah. Yeah, there are a couple large wrestlers, really large wrestlers that people would look at and say, damn, he's fat. But most of the guys, I would guess, would fit into what would be considered a cruiserweight bracket, like a lot of feds have now. So
I wonder if the talent knew this was coming, or do you think it was a kind of a bolt from the blue?
I bet it was a interesting surprise. Have to look more at that message because it's time to see an hour take off and start the weekend. But the deal always on. Get over to sportsradio.com and look for the blog post up there 3 times a month. While you're doing it, you can follow the link over to the Facebook page. If you go ahead and give that a like, but don't forget to put the tweet at sportsradio. You can also check me out on Twitter at sportsradio.com. And now we think you want to see a regular schedule if you just get Dan and I see on Tuesday at 4:30. I'm going to try to jump on Monday and give you a little content to check us out. But have a safe weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. It's nice to be back.